Okay, so my name is Jeremy Rosen. I've been working on Battle for Westnos since 2004. Battle for Westnos is an open source turn-based strategy game that started in 2003, if I remember correctly, which means I've been around for long enough to have seen many mistakes made and will try to help you not do it in your own games. So, we've been working throughout the years a lot on balance in Westnos. Balance is very complicated, very complicated. The first question we have to ask is, what is balance? Balance is mainly a feeling in your community. People say a game is not balanced when it's not fair, when it's not challenging. If it's too easy, it's not balanced. And surprisingly enough, when it's not fun. Balance is a lot about the game being interesting. So we'll have to look a little bit at what all those mean, but the important thing to remember is that all those things go back to fun. If it's not challenging, it's not fun. If it's not fair, it's not fun. And, well, if it's boring, you don't want to play the game, so balance is not that important anymore. When discussing balance, we discovered that there's really two types of balance which are very different. You have single-player mode and multiplayer mode. Multiplayer mode is between humans. That means that fairness is very, very important. When you don't want to have a situation where somehow there is something that is randomly chosen at the start of the game, like, say, faction, maps, or starting goal, whatever, and then the game starts and one of the two players say, okay, you've got this, I've got that, no need to play, you won. So no match should be decided by the matchup, a random variable, or an early decision. The best player should win, usually. I mean, when two players have about the same level, it's not that clear who should win, fortunately, because if it were, the game wouldn't be fun. But balance should not favor a given strategy. It should favor people who are good players, who know how to play, who have practiced. And all this means that you have this idea that you have good players, you have bad players, and you should not try to go for the beginners and make sure that the beginners can, the little kids can beat their big brother at the game. No, if they're not as good as their big brothers, they shouldn't win. Good players should win. So, when we're going single player, it's quite different. The main difference is one of the side is an AI. AI don't complain. You will never have an AI coming in your forum and saying that your game is unfair. Never happened to me so far. So, it means... Please do not implement it. I see you over there. More seriously, it means that the AI can cheat. And if your AI is too good in a given situation, you can give him unfair disadvantage. That doesn't happen very often. But yes, the AI can cheat. That's not important. People will complain that the AI cheats if the AI cheats and win. And that's a different problem. That is a balance problem. But the problem is not the fact that the AI cheats. The problem is the fact that the AI wins. So we want the game to be challenging. A player should lose a couple scenarios in a campaign. If he doesn't, then the campaign is too easy. If he stops because he has just hit a wall a dozen of times, then the campaign is too hard for him. Which leads us to the next point. Each player is different, and it's very hard to figure out the level of a player and to have the player level match the difficulty of the campaign. So somehow, if a player bumps on the first scenario and just say, okay, that campaign is too hard, I'll move to another campaign, you're good. Now, if he does like 4, 5, 6 scenarios out of 10, then suddenly the campaign just goes too hard, you cannot come back and say, yes, but the difficulty level was hard, and you're not good enough for hard, and the fact that the 5 first levels were easy should not have made you continue to play. We told you, that's not how it works. The player did actually go through 5 scenarios before reaching a hard point. The hard point should be at the beginning, so people know what to expect. And yes, they don't actually read the difficulty level, so you have to deal with it. One of the things we've learned throughout time at Questnos is how to find balance problems. Balance problems are not that easy to find, because people report balance problems all the time. Like, I don't know, we've got 5-6 messages about balance problem every day on our forum, which are different. So you need to figure out what is a real problem and what is just a user who's coming around and hasn't figured some rules of the game, that happens a lot, or has not listened to us, or very common in Westnos, hey, I've played a lot of strategy game, I came to Westnos, so I chose a hard campaign and I got my ass handed to me. That's not normal, the game is unbalanced. Well, when you play on hard on Westnos, we consider that you know the game rules and you try to abuse the game rules. So you really need to know our game. But people usually go and directly play any commercial game on hard. So they somehow expect Westnos to work the same. So the first thing I would advise is go and look at games. Usually when you see a complaint on the forum, you can look at games, keeping that into account. Someone complains that Unix X is unbalanced, and you go onto your multiplayer server, you observe a couple of games with that unit, and you see if people are just spamming that unit against any other given unit. And if it's really a problem, you can see it. So go and see by yourself. As I said, we'll go back to this, but listen to feedback. Listen to feedback and take it with a grain of salt, but still listen to feedback. It's hard, mainly because people are really annoying about that, but it's really important. It's really important because that's one of our best source of feedback. Tournaments. Tournaments are great fun. They're great fun to look at because that's where you have the real good players coming and joining and battling it. And it's really fun. And that's also a place where you will see the fashion-enabled exploits. If there is a new strategy coming around on the multiplayer server, you probably won't be aware of it right away. And people will start to use it a lot because it's a winning strategy. So if you do a tournament, you'll probably have lots of chance to actually see it work. So organize tournament, look at them, and you will see some strategies that are currently working to win the game, and you can say if it's a good strategy or if you want to prevent it in the future. Balance should always be for the best players. That's very important because that's basically the only players we can balance for. Beginners have all sorts of levels. Intermediates have all sorts of levels. Best players, there's only one level. So you should make sure that for the best players, the game is fair. If all players play the same faction or if they play or always play the same map, you have a balance problem. But if they play, each of them has his favorite faction, and if the maps are playing around well, then you're probably good. Intermediate player will learn and improve quickly. It should be fun for them. The game should still be fun for all level. But if you're a beginner, if I stay with Westnos, if you're a beginner, we have all sorts of factions. Some of them are very easy to play. Northerns have been designed to be played by the AI. So basically it's a faction where the best strategy is just attack like crazy. That's pretty easy to do. Factions like elves are way harder to play because you have all sorts of special units with special powers. And for a beginner, it's way easier to play Northerns than elves, or even harder, you have the undeads where you have to spam lots and lots of units, and which require quite some thinking to get them properly. Advanced player, the game is balanced. You can play any faction. But the difficulty is not related to the balance. Balance is a moving target. That's a hard one. We've been doing this for a year and we're still doing it. Because whenever we change something, it has all sorts of ripple effects throughout the game. So your game is never balanced. Your game is about balanced, and then you find a weakness, it starts being exploited, so you change something to compensate the weakness, and it creates another weakness. And if it doesn't, that means that other weaknesses will still be discovered, because you will always have some sort of weakness. So it's a moving target. It's pretty fun to actually look in and out and check everything and compensate. It is a developer job, but it's fun. As it's not a science. You have to try stuff. If you think something doesn't work in release X, then you change it and you see what happens in release X plus 1. Did it work? Did it make things worse? Did it have side effects you didn't want? You can try it. I mean, we are an open source game. We don't have tournaments with money involved in our game, which force us to be very balanced. So it's a chance we have. We can break balance temporarily, but we have to keep moving. It's just like software. If an open source project doesn't have commits and nobody touches it, even if it's very good, it's usually dead at this point. Balance, it's the same thing. You still have to touch it all the time. Play the game yourself. I mean, that's important, and we dev tend to forget it. But we need to play our games. They're fun. And the last tool I'll mention a bit later is automatic statistic collections. It was mentioned for Xenotics this morning. It's the idea that somehow the game will collect data about the player, so anonymously or not, depending on the games and the circumstances and things like that, collect them and help you balance your game using that. That's a pretty good tool, but I'll come back to it a bit later. So, user feedback. So that's IRC, forums, sometimes you will receive private messages or mails or something like that. It's basically a user that comes to you, or open bugs, happens to, with a complaint about balance. So something we read all the time in those complaints. All players are good players. I mean, there is just no beginners. That doesn't happen. They never do mistakes. I mean, since they don't do mistakes, if they lose, then it's always a balance problem. All strategies should work. Yes, I took my healer and I went straight ahead into the strange of orcs and it got killed. That's unfair. So, which means that all defeats are always due to random numbers. We get that one a lot. Or imbalanced game. That's the thing with these is that's very annoying. So. That the AI is cheating?
Yeah.
That one comes to a lot, that the AI is cheating and that we should fix the AI, and that's not fair too.
The AI has better random numbers than the player.
Yeah, basically our AI does not cheat, but it's very good at math. If there is a weakness in your line, the AI will find the weakness with its math and just bump it and bump it and bump it. And invisible units usually can only go in one or two places, so your AI is very good at guessing where invisible units are. It doesn't cheat. So, the first thing you will want to do with user feedback is ignore it. That's very tempting. That's very tempting, and if you're not with a very cold temper and always calm when answering your remarks, I would suggest heavily that you do that. Because it's very, very easy to angry a user and get some very negative feedback or very negative vibes in your community if you don't answer properly. So remember, it's very important to stay calm when you have those feedbacks. It's really not easy. Still, you need this feedback. It's tempting to ignore it, but don't. Because we'll have all sorts of tools to provide all sorts of feedbacks for different things, but there is one thing you only can get from your users, and that's specific points. This particular map has this particular balance problem at this particular place. That's something you only get from users. No statistic collections will help you with that. So you need to read it. You need to read it. If you don't know the person, you need to read it with some by pulling yourself back a little and trying to consider how good the person is by what he describes. And from this, you can usually have an idea if it's a beginner that did not understand the rule, if it's a beginner that's just not good enough for his beginner campaign, that happens, or is really, really good and should not be playing beginner campaigns in the first place. It happens too. The problem with beginners is that the range of level of a beginner is very, very large. A beginner that has been playing turn-based strategy games for ages, we've had some who actually won the hardest campaign without finding that you could recall your previous unit, only recruiting, which is, like, impossible. So, with that, so it's a, you have this idea, how good is he at the game? Does he know the rules? And how is he an absolute? And from this, you have to figure out how, what the reporter is actually saying. Recurring complaints are a good clue that you should do something. They're not always a good clue, especially when they're comparing units in the case of Westnos, because we don't balance for units, we balance for factions. But still, when they come back regularly, that's a big clue that you should at least have a deep look at what's going on. If the same unit gets complaints because, you, I don't know, unit A is always bashing undeads, and whenever someone plays against undead, he will only recruit that particular unit. That's not good. So you have to figure out what to do, how to make this unit less powerful with regard to undead, but not others, so there is not too much ripple effect. Another thing is important, I'll come back to the selected few later, is good players. When you have people that do proper reports, or that regularly come back and give advice, or that are known as good players and have good strategies, you should write their name down. I mean, seriously, you should build yourself a list of those guys, because they're very important. The last thing is usually that's more coming back to the first point. Some communities are more friendly than others. We all know that. And in video games, usually our community are a bit harder to deal with because we're games. So we have a big chunk of our community, which are kids. And they usually are not as good to behave socially as adults. They learn. So, yeah, I mean, that's a real consideration because we have really people, we've even received one or twice mails, this is my dad and I agree that my son does. Okay, doesn't make sense. So, if a community can be trained, if you act calmly as a moderator, if as a moderator you, you answer correctly the question, if when a player answers a bit roughly, you come back as a moderator and say, okay, he's right in what he's saying, however, please refrain from talking that way, the community will learn, and after some time you will observe that your regular will start acting in the same way as your moderators. So it's very important as a moderator that you always stay calm because you're training your community. And after some time, the community will be able to answer itself. Usually before the moderator has time to intervene, you will have someone who will have given a good answer. So that's what I just say. Respond in a civil manner. So others do the same. If you don't feel civil, then just you'll answer tomorrow. Wait a little. Respect useful feedback or treat them as if they were part of the team. That's very important too. Those guys are good. Those guys are useful. You should pretty much consider them as developers. They're here, they're helping you, they should get respect. We at Westnos, we have special forum titles for that sort of guys, so people immediately know just this guy is a guy we recognize as being a good guy on the forum. And that helps a lot. When you implement a change, a balanced change is someone that comes from a user that usually is not able to code or to provide a patch, so they're not part of the geek team, if you see what I mean. Remember to thank them publicly on the forum. It boosts their ego and it makes them come back. That's very important. I mean, of course it's just one line of change and there is no work involved for you. Still go back and thank them and say, okay, this has been the added to Trunk, thanks a lot. You can add them to your about or your credits somehow too, that helps. There will all be... that's what I said previously. You will have newcomers. If you have trained enough people in your forums, then you won't have to train the newcomers. They'll be trained by the previous generation. It works pretty well. It takes some time. You have to be civil all along. It works.
It's hard to be civil sometimes.
As I said, if you don't feel civil, then just come back later. You still have to keep an eye on it. It can really go out of hand quickly. It will work usually, but it's not completely stable, and you have to keep a hand on it. We at Westnost needs moderators, and we need more moderators all the time because it's a tiring job. So people tend to do it for some time and then drop. Fair enough, it is a tiring job. So back to our selected few. So now you've been around for some time. You have those four or five good players that are playing together or playing single player a lot, and provide you with some good tips, and you've implemented them, and they're really useful. Keep them, basically. Finding good providers is like finding developers. You should be looking for them all the time. You should train them, and then you should take them and make them part of your team. At Westnos, we have a lot and a lot of our developers that are not able to compile the game. Because our artists just are not interested. They're still developers, they still have commit rights, they're just not interested. What's the point? They're drawing. Well, translators are a bit special, but we have a couple of very good players that are now have commit access so they can do balanced change. They're not interested in compiling. Moreover, most of them are under Windows, which means two things. One, it's horribly complicated for them to compile. And the other thing is, it means that we need to have some rolling release on Windows. It's very important because, I mean, whatever game we are, most of our players are on Windows. So if we want to have a good balance, we need to get our best players in. And if we want to have our best players in, we need to have our development version under Windows. We cannot escape that. They are fueled by ego. That's true for developers, that's true for artists, and it's true for your good players. People, we all here do free software for our ego. We don't do it because it's fun, we don't do it because it's useful, we do it because we like it, and we like it because it fuels our ego to talk about it, to play it, to have people coming back and saying that our work is great and things like that. And that's why I'm here tonight. So remember this, ego, that's great, that's a wonderful tool, use it. Thanking people is not just being polite. It's making them come back. It's about hooking them and pulling them in. It works. It works wonders.
We tried it. It works.
Yeah, we tried it a lot. We do it. That's we have policies about who could go in the credits, and the policy is basically anybody. If you provide a patch for Westnos and it was somehow I forgot to add you to the credit, just tell me. I'll add you. There's no problem. You have your place in the credits whenever you have a patch in Westnos. Give them commit rights. We're using SVN, you might be using Git, CVS, whatever. If you have a configuration management system, it's impossible for a single developer to screw things up. If he's not good, you reverse. We had out of 60.
Yes.
Throughout the life of Westnos, we had like 60 people with commit access, and we had two that really screwed things up, and we had to reverse. That's a very good ratio. So people that are afraid of giving commit access because they're afraid of other people not committing what they want, that's not how it works. Just give away commit rights to everybody. It's a bit of the philosophy behind GitHub, where everybody clones a project and then you pull in what you want. But if you're not on GitHub, you can still use that. That's really great. Anybody can have commit access, and then if you're not happy, then you revert. Works. Abuse it. Testing the game yourself is very important too. That's how you get a feel of your game. Problem is, you're not just anybody. Usually you have played the game a lot already, but you still should do it. But you've played it dozens of times, so you don't have much to learn. You can't be surprised for the story, and you know all the strategies. You have to. You still have to. It's hard to know how good we are at the game. We tend to think that we're really good because we've created it. Unfortunately, it depends on the game. If it's a single player game where you're mainly playing against the AI, that's usually true, because I don't know of any games where the AI is cunning enough to beat a very well trained human. In multiplayer game, you'll be surprised very fast. Your community will beat you at the game very quickly. So you have to be honest and see if you're really bad. I'm very bad at Westnos. I'm used to test the beginner campaigns, or really good, or multiplayer developers that do the balance are not the best players around anymore. There are better players that are around the community, but they're still in the top.
So do you cheat?
How would I? Not in multiplayer. The game is in such a way it's pretty hard to cheat. So, be honest. It's important because you will balance on your feeling of the game. So, if your feeling are somehow not right with regard to how other players are doing, you're not going to be able to balance your game. So, how good are you? You improve over time. That goes back to the previous point. If you improve, then the game should not become harder. It's just again, how good am I? How good are other people? What do they accept? Are they having fun? And there is one tool I need to mention, and that's automatic stat gathering. So we did this in Westnos at some point. The information was individualized but anonymous. We could look at everything that a single player did, but we could not know who that player was. We had things like number of units when you entered a scenario, how much you had lost, how much gold you had kept, how were you at the end of the game, how many turns you did, how many retries you had on any single map. And that's the best tool you have for balance. It's reliable. It's enough data to do stats. It's not a single campaign. You can know that 80% of the players that dropped the campaign dropped it on the same scenario. That's the sort of thing you can see, it's pretty reactive. When you release a new version, you have your stats who restart. So you can see if a balance change has any effect by comparing the previous version to the new one. But we had problems because it's spying on our users. So whenever you see any open or proprietary software that's trying to do stats gathering, being it clicks for Firefox, Debian Popcorn or things like that, remember that it is a very useful tool. It is the best tool we have to know what's going on. But yes, the problem is we're gathering data about our users, and even in an open source software where we're absolutely not interested in selling any information and anybody can check what we're actually sending, it's still a social problem to have this sort of tool. So if you can, it's good. If you can't, you can't. So now that we've seen a lot about feedback and how to see where your balance problem is, the next question is how to balance. I mean, where to tweak, what are your knobs? I'll be a little bit more Westnos specific on this part because it's hard to have some generic feelings about that. Still, it's pretty important for all projects to really consider what are your knobs and what you can do. Map balance. When there is a problem in a map, which typically means that a given faction on a given map always win, it's usually pretty easy to detect. Because people will be complaining about that map precisely and having their pinpointing the problem. So that's the good side. It's pretty it's easy to fix in that you know what to fix. After the actual fix might be a bit more complicated. But what's good is that it has no impact on the rest of the game. We'll see that's not always the case, but maps and local changes are easy to detect and easy to fix. You just have to open your ears at your forum and see what's going on. It's also a great way to add fun, because some maps will be boring, especially, it's not that true on multiplayer games where you have, it can happen, but on single player game, if you have in your forum some per map feedback or per chapter if you're on chapter or something like that, the same complaints will start coming back. And it's pretty easy to add some fun by adding a few enemies at a surprising place or changing a curve in a corridor or somehow adding points where a sniper can go if you're a first-person shooter or something like that. So tweaking fun at the map level is pretty easy. Balance is okay too. Usually when there is a balance problem, you know where it is, so you can fix it. Cross-scenario balance, what I mean by that is when you have a campaign or somehow a string of scenario with a way for each scenario to influence the other. In Westnos, we have our recall list and we have our goal. It's pretty problematic because it means that you have lots of problem to assess the state of your player when he starts playing that given scenario. And this variation is very annoying because in the ideal world, you would have a large variation in actual possibilities, but a small variation in terms of power, if you see what I mean. If you have a lot of gold, you have few units, but you can buy a lot and you will have the same power as if you had a lot of units or if you have a few very good units. Unfortunately, it's really hard to get that, especially without stats, because people will start complaining that scenario number 5 is very hard because there are too many enemies. No, it's very hard because at scenario number 4 they did not keep enough troops. So it has the other problem is that those balance changes tend to propagate. When you change something like that in scenario 4, it will influence scenario 5 and 6 and 7 and 8 and 9. So overall, it usually won't break a campaign. You manage to compensate and get it back into shape, but it can make some very frustrating and boring scenarios. Because if you change it too much, then people will arrive with a huge amount of units and just pound through their enemy, and scenario number 5 will be like tantering longs without a single loss. Not fun. Or on the other side, if you've changed it to make the scenario 4 too hard, scenario 5, if you don't rebalance, will end up being a slaughter fest for your player. He'll be around and he'll get all his units killed in the first 5 turns, and then he'll restart the scenario a second time, a third time, a fourth time, and then he'll drop. So it's harder than map balancing, but again, it's important to consider those kinds of problems. Next change is changing unit characteristics. It's mandatory because, well, it might be it's units in Westnos, it might be weapons in a first-person shooters or something that the player, an equipment, something that the player has throughout the game. It changed the balance heavily. Problem is, sometimes, and especially if your game is multiplayer, you don't really have a choice because it's the only tool you have. So it has far-reaching effects throughout the game, and it has far-reaching effects on the strategies that are effective. If you change the way slowing works in Westnos, which we did around 1.2, you have some units that were extremely powerful against certain units. I'm thinking of the Shaman Healer against a Troll, which would like divide its actual power, which suddenly become average. It might be a good thing. In our case, it was a good thing. But the effect was enormous throughout the game. We changed the way Arcane worked to be more of an anti-magic force instead of being an anti-elf force, which made it much more balanced. But it means that all the scenarios had to be rebalanced after that. Because whenever you had a healer or a unit with an arcane attack, well, suddenly he would be either much less efficient or much more efficient about with one third of the units of the game. So it was huge. It's still very, very efficient. So my advice would be to do small cases, try them, release one version, see if it solves the problem. Change it a little more, a little less. Another little change to compensate the price of the units, how sparse it is in your finding chests, I don't know, depending on your game. But don't be afraid of doing it. one of the main danger with balance is when your game starts to be balanced, being afraid of changes, especially of big changes. Sometimes you have to. And the last time of balance change is changing the game rules. That's something that should be done cautiously after discussing a lot with all the developers and things like that. Still, sometimes you have to do it. The problem is it changes the game, really. It changes the dynamic of the game. It will make your good players have to rethink all their strategies. It will make your average players frustrated because their strategies they were starting to develop won't work anymore. It's needed sometimes. So effects are huge and hard to predict throughout the game. Sometimes they are needed because we have some things that are unbalanced and we've been trying to balance them through other factors throughout three releases and it just doesn't work. So bite the bullet and change the game rules. And it's fun. Honestly, it's pretty fun because it brings back some novelty into the game for everybody. What's fun with all sorts of game is discovering the rules, discovering the strategies, discovering the new units and new enemies. It's not fun to play the same game on and on and on and on. From time to time you need to change. So when you change the game rules like that, by breaking a big chunk of the available strategy, you re-add fun into your game. So it's a tool that's really worth considering because it's fun. You have a new game, basically. And from time to time, it's useful to just change. So, as a conclusion, balance is not easy. It's a full-time job for a developer. I mean, we usually have developers that are in charge of the graphics subsystem, of the input subsystem, of the sound subsystem, of the core games, of the modules. If your project does not have someone who's in charge of balance, find someone. I mean, it's really, really important that you have that because that person will really have a full-time job observing the community, and it takes time, it needs to be a good player, but you need to have someone to do it. It's not someone that we coders can do. We're not good at it. We're not good artists, we're not good musicians, and usually we're not good players either. So, find someone. If you're that someone, your community is your best tool. Listen, observe, answer from time to time, that's useful too. But really you're here to look at the community and look what's going on and see if you want to tweak. It's a bit of a godlike work. Pretty fun. But really, you need to take your time to observe, assess. If you detect a problem, let it go a little. Take some time to be sure there is a problem and the community will not find a counter strategy in a week or two. And when you decide to balance, you need to think out of the box. There are common ways to balance that you will use most of the time. There are uncommon ways to balance, and it pays to sometimes consider other changes than your first idea. And balance is fun. Balance is about fun. You are balancing only to try to maximize fun, so you should take your time thinking why your game is fun. I mean, fun as a science. Your role as a game developer is to maximize the fun for your users. So why are they having fun? Is it by discovering new levels, new enemies? Is it by discovering new strategies? Is it by having a friendly community on which to play a multiplayer game? Is it for competitive game? You have to ask yourself those questions. Why do people play my game? As in, what is fun? Why do they enjoy it? And try to maximize that. So balance is about fun. Balance is fun for you. It's really funny to see those effects and try to outsmart your players so their strategies, which were too effective, become just borderline effective. And it's actually the difference comes back to the talent of the player and his way of maximizing and of using the mistakes of his opponents and things like that. So it's really fun to look at. And balance, of course, is fun for your player, because all those changes, if they don't break the whole game, means that they regularly have to rethink their strategy, and people enjoy that. A challenge is fun. By offering new challenges to your game, be it through new levels, new maps, new weapons, or just by changing existing stuff, you're providing more fun and more challenge. So, if you keep that in mind, you can really get your game to be enjoyable and have your players stay. Have your players stay because they will like your game and they will want to continue playing your game once they've been through the single player part or through the most common multiplayer thing. So, balance, you really... Yeah, if there is a message I want to get through is that you need someone to take care of it full time. Because it's important and it works if you take the time off doing it. Any questions? Yes?
When in the development cycle do you start with balancing? If I start a new
Today?
Project, for example, do I start it right from the beginning or do I wait until I reach like a very stable state?
In Westnos, we've really started thinking about balance when we've added multiplayer, but at this stage we already had like two campaigns and some player community. In a more generic sense, I would say at the point where your game starts to be really playable. It doesn't have to be good, but it should not be a prototype where you're the only one playing at demos. You see what I mean? Once you start having players who come and play the game, at this point you should start thinking about balance. It will be very rough at the start, because at that point you usually change the game rules a lot. But still, whenever you start having a certain number of players, usually you want to think about the balance at this point and start the feedback loop. Yes?
Does this project run on StarCraft or using genetic algorithms to find the algorithms? Anyway, the idea was about what you mentioned, that the balance is very delicate, and once you do a change, it can have multiple effects in other directions. I'm curious if you studied the subject, or anyway, if you have a tool that uses, for instance, genetic algorithms to keep finding the weak spots in the balance automatically, like some sort of automatic testing of your balance?
I mentioned the statistic gathering tool.
Yes.
We had some attempts at comparing more at the unit level through scripting and things like that. Nothing as complicated as genetic algorithm. Our big problem at Westnos is that our game, from a rule set point of view, is much, much more complicated than StarCraft. StarCraft has no random. If a unit shoots, it will do its damage. So it's a completely different game. The game is interesting for other reasons. But from a pure rule set point of view, Westnos is way more complicated, and so it's much harder to make an AI that would be even representative of what's going on from a human multiplayer point of view. So there were some attempts, but not very successful for Westnos. Other questions? No? Okay, well then thank you everybody.